Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Free Talk Live. Phones are open here and you can join the show. All you gotta do is dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, my name is Ian. We have a special guest host tonight. His name's Kumo. Welcome, Kumo.
Thank you for having me.
And Bonnie will be joining us here in just a little bit as well. The phones are open. The number is 603-283-6160. Drag shows are back in the news. Tennessee is talking about banning them. We'll get into that. And now apparently the governor in Tennessee, who is planning to sign the drag show ban, a photograph has now surfaced of him wearing drag. So, yeah, you gotta love these politicians.
Glass houses, as they say.
Indeed. So, but first I want to talk a little bit about you, Kumo. You are new not only to being on Free Talk Live, your first appearance here, but also new to New Hampshire. You just made the move on Thursday, Friday?
Yep, just got here on Thursday night.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel?
It's an adjustment, that's for sure.
Well, now you say that, but you're from Wisconsin. It certainly is cold in Wisconsin. As I understand it, it gets somewhat colder there during the wintertime.
Oh, it certainly does get colder. The adjustment's less about the climate and more. It's a new life. It's a new chapter.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you don't have to say, but I'm going to guess you're in your mid to late 20s?
Yep, late 20s.
Okay, all right. So, spent your whole life in Wisconsin up until now, I'm guessing?
With a brief period in Minnesota for just a brief excursion, visiting and living with friends over on that side.
But that's not too far away from where you were from, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah. It's, basically an hour and a half from Wisconsin, so... Basically, Wisconsin.
So, yeah, it's like, having moved here myself from Florida, but for me it was just 16 years ago, it's moving to a new country, basically. I mean, you're around a kind of a completely different type of person to some extent. Although I was watching there was this Wisconsin comedian I think you recommended to me, and I'm sorry I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Behrens.
Charlie Behrens. I watched one of his comedy specials, and it was really entertaining. And it seems like there's actually a fair amount of similarities between people up here and over there. Like, he was talking about calling water fountains bubblers in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
They do that here, too.
Really? No.
I had never heard that term before moving up here. They do the New England style bubbla here. Suspect it's pronounced a little differently.
Yeah, over there it's pronounced bubbler.
Right. Yeah. So, but that means water fountain. And, somebody who's not from around here would, if you said, there's a bubbler around the corner, you'd have, no idea what that person was talking about. So I think there are actually some similarities, just the accent is dramatically different.
Oh, yeah, the accent is extremely different from my experience of talking to folks over here.
Indeed. So, welcome to New Hampshire. You moved here. Are you officially a part of the Free State Project, or were you one of those people that's just like, I got to get there, and I'm not a joiner kind of?
I never signed no paper. I never signed nothing. I was like, all right, I'm just going to get over here and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. But the Free State Project was definitely like a factor, right, in attracting you here?
Yeah, certainly. The Free State Project basically running Pork Fest was what kind of, like, at least from the outside looking in, I think it was Carla Garrick who came on Tom Woods' show advertising the Pork Fest and just recommended going on, checking it out, and I was like, all right, well, this is back when early bird tickets were only $30.
Yeah, what are they now, $100 or something like that?
I think early bird this year was $75.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad. $10 a day.
Yep, something like that, so, still a pretty good darn good deal.
So it was the Tom Woods show that turned you on to the Porcupine Freedom Festival?
Yep.
And then the Free State Project?
Yep, and then the Free State Project. And Pork Fest basically got me to meet a lot of folks over in this side of the state. Made a good few friends my first year in Porkfest 2021.
That was your first time?
Yep.
Oh, okay. That was a big year, too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, that was...
sold out, I think.
Yep, sold out. Sold out.
I think that was the first year they ever sold out, and then in 2022 they sold out again.
Yep, and it makes sense. I mean, like, during 2020, you know, I assume not many people showed up for the event. Or nearly
as
much.
It was actually pretty decent, but it was certainly not record setting or anything like that. But it wasn't terrible. 1,000 maybe.
I think with 2021 and 2022, I think enough people started, you know, smelling the roses and realizing, or you know, they knew something was up.
But COVID tyranny was in your face, literally in your face.
Exactly.
With the masks and all that. And I think that definitely did get a lot of people's attention in the liberty movement of like, okay, well, whatever we've been doing hasn't been working. So are we going to double down and just keep doing the things that we've done but harder? Or are we going to try a different approach and actually do what seems to be working over in New Hampshire, which is gathering people together of like mindset in one small geographic area?
Yep, certainly, and I think with some folks, it's they really want to go that national route, and buddy, I tell you, I don't think it's put it simply, I don't think it's going to work.
It has never worked.
Oh no, but over 50 years, and
yeah. I mean, how many more decades do you need to fail before you'll realize that you got to try something else? You got to try something different.
Listen, Ian, I think you just need to lower your time preference just a little bit more. It's just right around the corner.
Yeah. Right. Libertarianism is just going to catch fire in the United States, and everybody's going to change their minds. No, I mean, if anything made it clear that that's not going to happen, it's the whole COVID response and everything that happened there. It's crazy.
Oh, 100%. No, I agree with you, bud.
The obedience that we saw happening with people there is... I mean, even here in New Hampshire, I was not impressed with the average person in New Hampshire and how willing they were to, you know, go along to get along. And I complained about that here on the air. But, you know, a lot of them were, I think, doing it just because they didn't want to upset their neighbors. You know, even though they were personally against it, they weren't willing to draw attention to themselves and refuse to go along with it, sadly.
Sadly, the fact of the matter is, a lot of people don't want to martyrize themselves.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
And I get it. Like, you know,
it sucks. I can tell you about that.
Being like the bad guy or the villain and other people, and people, if it's your peers, you don't want to lose their respect, so you generally end up keeping quiet. Admittedly, I kept quiet for the longest time with how my opinions on the things. I was a little bit blessed, however, as one of my jobs back in the back during that time was at a gun range in a county where the sheriff refused to enforce any policies.
Okay.
So our gun range, we were just like, you can wear a mask, you don't have to. Hmm. We're not going to judge you.
Was the city that you were from doing mask mandates or anything like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm aware, there was... actually, I believe it was the county that was in for that, because my gun range job was like two counties down.
Yeah.
And my the county I was living in was enforcing a mandate in addition to the state's mandate. Well, the state mandate was more so of a protection for private businesses to choose. It wasn't actually an official state government enforcing the mandate.
But the county had a mask mandate.
Yes, and I'm trying to remember. I think it was, yeah, basically a mask mandate, and there were some other things.
Are the counties powerful in Wisconsin?
They're decently powerful. Mm-hmm.
Like here, they barely exist. Like there's an office, there's a there's a register of deeds, there is a sheriff's department, but there's not that many of them. Like it's totally different down in Florida, where the county sheriffs are crawling all over the place, and there's a ton of them, and like that's what you see more often. Unless you live in the city proper, you see those guys everywhere. Here, you rarely see a sheriff's cruiser around.
As far as my personal experience in Wisconsin has been, there is quite a bit of sheriffs all over the place.
Mm. So they pull people over and stuff, because here they rarely pull people over. They're just like glorified paperwork servers for courts. They can pull you over. I have been pulled over by one, but he just gave me a warning.
Mm. I've seen, I've actually been pulled over twice in one particular county, Clark County, Wisconsin, speeding twice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that sheriff's department has some really nice pockets because they're one of the few sheriff's departments that I've seen with regularly new trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see them.
Do they in Wisconsin, do the sheriffs, the local police, do they get to keep revenue from tickets that they write? Do you know?
That's a very good question. Admittedly, that is not something to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Here they don't, except for the state police. So the state police, that money goes to the state budget, and so does the local stuff. So whenever you get a ticket from a local cop, the local police department doesn't actually get a cut of that. It all goes to the state. So what you end up seeing happening a lot here in New Hampshire is if you get pulled over by a local cop, most of the time you're just going to get a warning because they don't actually directly benefit from writing a ticket. It doesn't help the department.
Really,
it doesn't help them personally. So they don't do it. Whereas a state police officer is more likely to write you a ticket because it does benefit them. So incentives matter.
They indeed do matter. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look further into that.
So the phones are open here. We got Rob on the line in Vermont to start things out here. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Kumo. Also, Bonnie is joining us here as well. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, you guys were talking about sheriffs and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
You know, over here in Vermont, there's like 4 different sheriff's departments right now that are being investigated.
Oh, okay.
For what?
You know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, some I think for theft and, you know, another one I think for some other nefarious act. The state police over here in Westminster, 2 of them are on administrative leave for some other, you know, racially motivated acts or something like that.
Weren't there some troopers in Vermont that were actually doing something good by, falsifying... I think it was COVID papers for people. Like, they were coming up with fake COVID paperwork or vaccination paperwork, and they got caught doing that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Wow, didn't hear about that.
Yeah, but...
Every now and then, the police do something right.
So are the counties really powerful in Vermont, too?
Well, I don't know. It's pretty laid back over here. You know, I mean, it's like anywhere you go, there's always going to be a crime everywhere, but... at least they're calling this out, and, you know, it's on the news, and, you know.
Hopefully it doesn't get put into a list and hidden by the Attorney General, like in New Hampshire.
Say that again?
Hopefully they don't just get put onto a list and then get hidden by the Attorney General.
You're talking about the corrupt cops?
Yep.
Yeah. But,
Rob, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, I don't have anything else to say.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate the call. The number here is 603-283-6160. We're just kind of getting to know Kumo a little bit here. He is brand new to New Hampshire, having made the trip out here. You drove out from Wisconsin. You told me off the air a couple of days ago. We had you in the studio just hanging out like 26, 24 hours, something like that.
Closer to 22.
22, okay.
The reason it was 24 was because I made a stop in Detroit, and then I attempted to make a stop in Rhode Island. But those plans fell through. So as I was going through Connecticut, I ended up going up further north.
And does that include sleeping time as well, the 22?
No, that does not. Okay. If I included that, it would be probably about 30 hours,
okay. Realistically.
Because
you're up way in the north of Wisconsin, right?
Green Bay is more in the north. It's a bit of the northeast. It's not super far north. It's kind of like central on the latitude of Wisconsin, and it's just one of the furthest east.
What was your experience with the people? I mean, because we were talking a little bit about COVID and what it was like there. You said the county had a mask mandate, for instance. What about your friends? I mean, what about your family? What was it like? I mean, how crazy were they getting, or were they, you know, quietly against it, verbally or vocally against it? What was your experience?
So for context, I am basic amongst my friends. I am pretty much the only libertarian amongst them. I'm surrounded by liberals, leftists, and comms.
Really?
I love all of them. Don't get me wrong; they're all good friends of mine, and they've done so much for me.
But you're not from Madison. You're from elsewhere.
No, I'm I'm from Eau Claire.
Okay.
My libertarian journey started in Minnesota, though.
Okay.
But keeping my life story to as short as possible. But basically, most of my friends, they went along, they stayed home. A lot of them even preferred that. We were part of kind of a large LARPing organization, and the Wisconsin, Minnesota.
That's live action role playing.
Yep, that is correct.
And would you say most of them are like leftists?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of seems like that.
And love them or hate them. It's a fun community to be a part of at times.
Except there was no LARPing going on during COVID, I suspect.
Oh, no. Once 2020 hit, like that March, we put our kingdom, which was Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa, we went on lockdown, and we didn't get out of lockdown till, funnily enough, the weekend before Porkfest.
2022?
2021.
Oh.
Sorry.
Wow. Yeah. But still, that's crazy.
That's a long time.
No hanging out outside with your friends.
Well, to clarify, there was no official LARPing. Eventually, we got to the point where we would just, because Wisconsin, we have a cartel called the Tavern League, which is, like, very, I know the looks, basically, it's a union of bar owners that all gathered together in order to enforce liquor. Like, basically, it lobbies to give themselves better favor. They also lobby to prevent marijuana legalization.
Oh,
cartel,
lovely.
Sounds like a good term for that.
It's
a correct term for that.
It is a cartel.
Well, of course, Wisconsin is known for being a highly drinking kind of place, right? Like, everybody's got a beer in their hand kind of place.
Listen, with alcohol that cheap, I don't blame anybody. And it's not subsidized. That's the beautiful thing about it.
Is that right?
Well,
okay.
Is the cheese subsidized?
I believe dairy is subsidized in some form or matter.
Mm-hmm. It's federal, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think that's federal.
I think there's price controls involved.
Yeah.
Which I know I've met like one or two farmers who are not a fan of that. I'm going to have to talk further with them in order to get like some discussions on that.
I want to get back to the cartel, though.
Yes.
Tell me more about
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. So basically, because of the Tavern League, bars opened really early compared to other businesses during the first lockdown, during the lockdown. They eventually were like, hey, we found this to be unconstitutional for Wisconsin or something, or we're just going to open the bars now. So they just opened the bars, and I'm not a fan of them as, you know, lobbyists against marijuana.
Sure.
They have a lot of issues. But they did open up at that time, and a good couple friends of mine and I would hang out at places outside of our LARPing group.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened that most people during that time would just stay indoors, hang out on...
No outfits or anything?
No outfits.
So you'd be at a bar and people would be wondering what you're doing or whatever. See, that's so messed up. I mean, hanging out outside with your friends got... you know, made to seem like an unhealthy thing, and also criminal. Unhealthy and criminal to hang out outside
The
woods
so
or whatever.
Sad.
I don't know where you'd normally do
it. Don't get me started. So some people in our organization, like I said, comprised mostly of leftists in some form or another. They were admonishing a lot of people for hanging around and having parties. When they themselves were having meetups and having parties. So it's not even just like we're not allowed to hang out. It's people who get to have that that moral superiority while also ignoring the rules that they put for other people.
Hold on. So the leftists that were locking themselves at home were still throwing parties?
Pretty much.
Was that something that came out quietly? Someone figured it out?
They were posting photos of it. I feel like eventually, like they just didn't think that the way they were doing it was wrong, but the way other people were doing it was wrong.
Wow.
You know,
we're washing our hands as soon as we get inside.
Oh, yeah. Was it like COVID protocol parties or something like that?
I wouldn't even think that. They were all cuddling up next week. Like, it was cuddle puddles and things like that. And I'm just looking at that. I'm like, guys, y'all are claiming to care about not spreading this, but y'all
they were coming down on other people while they were having a cuddle puddle.
It's a funny word.
Pretty much. And it's like, oh, there are multiple people from multiple cities doing this. And I'm like, oh, so you're potentially spreading it from one city to another with this behavior.
Well, was this after the vaccines came out? Because a lot of people...
Oh, no, this is well before.
Interesting.
This was 2020 still.
Not that I, think that's fine, but there were definitely people that acted like, well, we're vaccinated, so we can go back to normal.
That's true.
There was that brief window where there was a potential for efficacy. Saying what you... I will not comment on whether or not the... can we actually say whether or not? Or
yeah, we're not on YouTube.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. We're not going to be on YouTube until May.
Yeah.
Oh, play it safe. Hey, all right. But yeah, no. So it was a very interesting time in Wisconsin amongst all my friends who I need to say I still love in case they find this.
Sure. But you didn't have any libertarian friends, and that's frustrating, right? You said your libertarian story began in Minnesota.
Yeah, because at the time I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Well, 2015 I was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Oh, wow.
And then I saw what...
Was your family leftist as well? Is that how that happened?
No, actually, funny enough, my family is a weird grab bag. On my mom's side, there's big D Democrats, born again Christian, like middle of the road conservatives and Trump supporters. My dad's side is pretty libertarian, live, let live. I've never seen one really be super neocon. Like, I think most are like in the liberty mindset, but nobody amongst my dad's side of the family, nobody really talks politics. We just enjoy ourselves. Like we hang out as a family. We have dinners, drink beers, things like that, get projects done. So with my dad's side of the family, politics has always been very much on the back burner.
Hmm.
But, 2016, Trump gets elected. I'm heartbroken as a former, as a Democrat who I was expecting the absolute worst. And then one of the key moments was, do you remember that free speech rally in Berkeley back in 2016?
Was that like Milo Yiannopoulos didn't get to go? And
I think maybe.
I think he was involved somehow.
I remember, but basically black bloc individuals were fighting against people at this rally, and there was this girl who had very, very dirty dreadlocks standing ready to fight, and a guy who was two heads taller than her just socked her in the face.
Wow. Oh. We're going to come back to more of how Kumo got into the Liberty Movement from being a Bernie supporter. The phones are also open here, and you can join us and bring up whatever's on your mind. Plus, drag shows are back in the news. We'll get into what Tennessee is going to be doing. Looks like this bill to ban drag shows is going to pass, and we'll get into that coming up here in a little bit. Your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome. This is Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. President Biden says Republicans are still trying to cut health care for millions of Americans as part of their debt ceiling negotiations.
Getting rid of the Affordable Care Act would mean that more than 100 million Americans with pre-existing conditions would lose the critical protections they have now.
Speaking in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Biden said Republicans making demands to cut the federal budget in order to raise the debt ceiling are playing politics. a federal agency has been hit with a ransomware attack. The attack on the U.S. Marshals Service is being called a major security breach. Hackers were able to gain access to a system containing sensitive information, including data on fugitives. And Nissan is recalling more than 809,000 small SUVs in the U.S. and Canada. The company says a key problem can cause the engine to shut off while driving the vehicle. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Bring up anything. Here on Free Talk Live with Dean, Bonnie, and Kumo, our new guest host here tonight. New mover to New Hampshire. It's not part of the Free State Project, but inspired by the Free State Project. And there's a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people who, you know, in the Liberty Movement, they're just not like, I'm not a joiner. You know, I'm not going to sign my name to something, but I like the idea of what you guys are doing.
Which is
to say, moving as many like-minded, liberty-oriented people here to the same geographic area, and then hopefully having some level of success at actually making this place more free than it was when we found it. And I think that we are having that success. I think at the very least the beginnings of that success are apparent, where we've seen dozens of libertarians getting elected here in New Hampshire as usually Republicans, sometimes Democrats. Not so much libertarians. The libertarians still don't get elected pretty much anywhere. But there's so many libertarian activists that have migrated here. A lot of them are just kind of infiltrating, not so much secretly in some cases, but openly, the two major political parties, which I really think is a nice flip of how things typically go, which is typically the failures from the big parties like the Republicans, like Bob Barr or Gary Johnson, these sort of failed Republicans. I mean, they did get elected, so I guess I can't say they're complete failures, but they wanted to go and become something bigger in a third party for some reason, and so they joined the Libertarian
Party. Or they got, you know, a mission from their federal masters,
their handlers,
to go join the Libertarian Party and ruin it.
Right, to make the Libertarian Party look like a bunch of conservatives, which it shouldn't be.
That's the number one best strategy. Just make the libertarians look like a bunch of conservatives. That's the best strategy.
Well, that's what they were doing for years in the national LP.
Just to be clear, the best strategy for the feds to ruin the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
For the listener.
So we're doing the reverse here in New Hampshire, which is to say the libertarians are working on taking over the other two parties. Now, I don't know how far along they are on the Democrats. They're pretty dug in, pretty difficult to, to infiltrate in there. But the libertarians have done fairly well with getting into positions of prominence within the Republican Party here, to the point where a free stater is actually the Republican House Majority Leader, which makes him the House Majority Leader because the Republicans currently have a slim majority in the State House. So he's not the Speaker of the House, which would be the highest position in the State House.
What's the difference? It's like they all get the same vote, so what's the point of that?
The Speaker, I don't think, does vote.
Oh.
I'm not sure about that, but the Speaker runs the whole proceeding. So that guy that's there with the gavel the whole time.
Matt Santanastasa.
Yeah, I cannot pronounce Matt Santanastasa's name to save his life. That guy is the Speaker of the House.
Okay, but other than him, like, why does it matter if you're the Majority Leader?
I don't know. That's some sort of organizational thing for them.
I would say don't look at me. I'm an agorist. I don't really touch
politics.
I don't touch the political spirit realm.
Well, and as you were saying, you did come from the left, so that's kind of agorism. I don't think it's fair to call it leftist per se, but how would you describe it?
There are some certain aspects of it that do have leftist elements, like keep in mind, anarcho-capitalism does also have a class theory to an extent, but Konkin, when he wrote, he was basing a lot of his stuff on the old anarchists of, like, Emma Goldman, mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
This is Samuel Edward Konkin?
Yep, Sam Edward Konkin III.
Mm-hmm. He wrote the book, literally, on agorism.
Counter-economics?
Yeah, I believe that was it.
Called it. I haven't finished up.
Anagoras Premier, yeah, the counter-economics from the back alleys to the stars was sadly unfinished due to his
death.
Premature demise, yes.
Define what agorism is.
So agorism is I would consider it a split off from libertarianism around the time when there was a schism on the basis of whether or not political action was the correct move in order to spread liberty. And agorism was basically the result from Konkin saying, no, we should not delve into party politics, we shouldn't be engaging in the vote, things like that. And there's debate amongst agorists whether or not the vote is... Almost all agorists agree it's ineffectual.
Mm-hmm. But is it immoral?
Violent.
That's the big thing. And that's a tough one for me. Part of me leans towards it being some form of aggression, but at the same time, it is not something I'm going to die. Like, that's not...
I feel you want to die on. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Like, some people get angry. Like, people get into yelling matches over the most minute things, and I'm like, all right, ineffectual, immoral, I don't care. All I want is the state gone. I'm going to do... And the other thing that is very kind of important with agorists is kind of an emphasis on freedom for yourself and your family, mm-hmm. regardless of the permission or changes of the state. So, for example, the political route, which it can be commendable, like what's going on, where you try and change laws or things like that, but sometimes you end up in situations where if you play within the rules of the state, they're still going to get you.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I thought we were doing legal things with the whole Crypto 6, and they got me good on that one. But, if agorism's interesting, I have read some, I forget which Konkin, I did read something by Konkin a long time ago, and I don't oppose the idea. I think, I'm of the belief that we need all the approaches, and the fact is, you're never going to convince everyone stop working within the system.
That's certainly it, and I know there's some stronger agorists out there, like Sal Mayweather. Mm-hmm. I actually have a lot of respect for the man. He's done a good amount to spread what, at least he's the reason I actually became an agorist, just because him and Reed Coverdale, I should also clarify that.
Oh, okay.
Reed Coverdale was on accident, because he made a poll back when he was naturalist capitalist of, mm-hmm. is voting a violation of the NAP?
That's the non-aggression principle.
And yes or no, and I didn't answer the poll for 2 days because I had to
think about it.
I'm like, huh.
My thing about it is, obviously, voting for, like, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or any of those people in the federal government is aggression against your neighbors. I really do think that.
I think that's probably true.
But when I vote for Ian, I am not, you know, I know for a fact that it's not violence against my neighbors. When I vote for, if I could vote for Matt Santanastasio, I would. There are other libertarian-minded people. Maybe I would just kind of, it'd be a question mark, because I don't know, like, oh, we agree on most things, but there might be something that they're like, oh, but we have to outlaw drag queens, like, you know, in Tennessee. There. So I don't know. In the future, I will only vote for people that I vote, like, 100% agree on everything with them, but not just agree because, oh, that's, you know, my opinion, but that I know they would never, that all they want to do is make the state smaller. Like, if I could have voted for Jay Noon, I would have, and I made a video to help promote him, because he wanted to, you know, our Thursday night,
yeah.
Host, he wanted to start tearing down the, instead of, like, seceding, he wanted to, like, put in a bill that would get rid of the city of Hillsborough, or wherever it is he lives.
Abolish the municipality. We can continue with the discussion here in a moment. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian.
It's on your mind.
Sister Bonnie and Brother Como.
Kumo.
With Kumo. A U. My apologies.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, today, TikTok was banned by the government.
Which government?
The federal government.
How?
Really?
It was banned. Yeah, get this one. This is great. This is phenomenal. The government banned it on the devices, so it can no longer be installed on the devices of all federal employees. Reason why? It came from China. It's based in China. But I have an interesting observation.
Okay, so just to be clear, only federal employees cannot put TikTok on their federal cell phones, but their own personal cell phones, I presume they could.
Work phones, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, now here's an interesting observation. It sounds kind of stupid, probably. When I heard this, I sat here and thought, okay, but doesn't it make a hell of a lot of sense that there would be just the same procedure and ban on those work devices of all apps that come from outside of the United States? And shouldn't that have happened like a long time ago?
Well, I think that they're trying to instigate a war with China right now, and doing little things like this is like getting the people in the right mindset. Like, we can't have apps from China. They spy on you. And, you know, so it's probably why.
To answer your question, Ricky, I don't care. I mean, to me, if you're working for the federal government, you know that they're going to be really controlling a-holes. And so you shouldn't be surprised that they're going to tell you what you can and can't put on your work phone.
I mean, I'm surprised that TikTok wasn't banned from work phones on the basis of it's TikTok on a work phone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, anybody working for anyone else should be able to, like, if you're working in a restaurant, the rule is usually don't bring your damn phones in here. You don't want your waitresses sitting there on the phone the entire time when they should be working the tables, right? I don't blame anybody for putting restrictions on people's phone use while they're at work.
Right, but I wanted to ask you, Ian, that being said, your thoughts on it too, and all of you for that matter. It would be kind of like a bad idea when it comes to security in general to allow a foreign government of anybody for that matter to have on a work device an app, considering what we know how apps work and how easy it is to put anything in there where they can take over your whole device.
Yes, I would agree. It would be bad security. Absolutely.
Then why don't they stop banning all the? Why don't they ban all the apps? That's my question.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't run the federal government. I don't want anything to do with them, so I don't know why they pick one app over another. But this leads me to my question, Ricky, is do you have your own TikTok channel? If so, what is it? How can we subscribe?
Well, I will tell you this. When it comes to me, except for using Skype, and one day I'm going to tell you about my Skype experience, I won't use social media.
Really?
I never have. Yeah.
See, I think you would be a hit. I think Ricky, like, rambling into his phone once a day or more than once a day about whatever thing you want to say could be entertaining. I mean, I feel like back in the day when you used to call the show, I feel like somehow we found your photograph, but I don't.
Yes.
I don't remember for sure. I feel like you're like a long-haired, mustached guy, but I could be wrong.
I just assume that based on his voice.
Yeah, well, one thing I will tell you, and one day I'm going to talk about the Skype experience to those who remember me and what happened with Skype and the LRN and all the other stuff.
Yeah, I do remember that people used to say you hung out in various different, like, Skype chat rooms with multiple people.
Oh, yeah.
Back in
the underground, me and Zero. You know, we had the Confederacy. Zero was a very well-known hacker. And also, I was voted on all of Skype the most unique personality to hit the Internet in a decade.
Okay, I don't know if that's true or not, Ricky, but if it is true, then you got to run with this thing, man. I mean, look, I don't like TikTok either as far as, like, it's a big time sink. I think that's the biggest problem with TikTok. But it's possible you could become a thing on a platform like that, Ricky. I mean, why turn off a social media when, you know, you're such a character?
Well, only one problem, Brother Ian. As you well know, and I'm not going to get into it for obvious reasons, but because of my current circumstances, I know a lot about technology. Remember, I used to be a Windows insider, and I did testing on Windows 10 phone, all that crazy stuff. At this point, I know enough that I could not effectively, with certain usability features, be able to operate a device like Android, say.
Oh, because you're having trouble accessing devices.
No, I would have trouble operating it because of my limitations, Ian. You
right.
know that.
Blindness, right? You said you were blind.
Oh, I was trying to say that, Ian. But,
I thought you said it on the air.
He said he didn't want to get into it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Never.
I'm sorry, Ricky. I thought you said that on the air.
Yes, Ricky from the Commonwealth, I might as well say it, just recently went blind. And that's also why I took early on Social Security for SSD. So that makes sense now.
I could have sworn you said it on the air. And if you didn't, Ricky, I apologize. But
it's all right, Brother Ian. It's okay.
Since it's out there, though, are you just legally blind or are you, like, totally blind?
I'm totally blind at this point. The fact is, I was born with something called retinitis pigmentosa.
Hmm.
That's a degenerative retinal disease. A lot of people now know what it is. It used to be considered rare. And I've been going blind my whole life.
Hmm.
I could barely see back in 2016. I was 2400 with correction.
What does that mean? Is that like
I don't remember what any of those things mean.
2400.
But yeah,
that's like
something about
how bad your vision is.
Like people are 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I was 2400 with correction.
Sounds bad.
It is really bad. Yeah. And you know what? That's also I gave my 45 Colt away. But I don't carry that no more. I don't even have a gun. But I still stand up for the rights of everyone else, of course.
All right. Well, Ricky, thank you for the call tonight. And, of course, keep us in the loop as things develop.
One more thing, Brother Ian, if I could.
Yes, sir.
The reason why I didn't want anybody to know, because when I talk as myself, Ricky from the Commonwealth, I don't want anything to add or detract to anything I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, that's
fair
what
enough.
I didn't mention.
We have, like, three blind callers.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah, we've got a surprising number of blind callers on this show.
Yeah, I was worried about all the other people that call in and stuff. I don't want it to disturb anything that I'm talking about.
All right, brother. Well, thank you for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. And I
hope people aren't
honesty.
That, you know, like, I hope people aren't that
petty.
Prejudiced.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine they would be.
You'd be surprised, though. Sometimes you end up having people just even when they are trying their best, they end up accidentally causing some prejudice themselves, even if they have the best intentions.
Yeah, our friend that's blind reminded me or made me start realizing maybe I shouldn't use the phrase, because I wear glasses, I'm wearing contacts right now, maybe I shouldn't use the phrase, oh, I'm so blind when I don't have my glasses on and I can't see something. Because our friend
you
was
feel
here.
Like it's insensitive?
Well, our friend was here, and I was like, is my phone over there? And Ian was like, yeah, it's right here. And I was like, oh, thanks, I'm so blind. And he just says, are you, Bonnie? Are you so blind? And I was just like, oh, that sounds way rude when I think about it now. He was laughing. He's really
funny. He has a good sense of humor about it.
Right, but it just made me think maybe I should be conscious of that. Like, I'm not blind.
I don't know. If you guys out there that are blind have a feeling, any feelings about this, feel free to call in and weigh in on that question. Does it bother you if somebody uses the sort of the colloquial phrase that I'm blind to reference that they've missed something obvious?
Oh, yeah, perhaps? That's another way people use it, yeah.
But you are, you know, without your vision correction in, you are not quite 100% blind, but you are unable to see things. So
from far away only.
The number, if you want to join the show, is 603-283-6160. We were talking about agorism, and my understanding of it, Kumo, and please, you know, correct me if I'm wrong about this, is that agorism is this sort of outside-the-system approach to achieving liberty, where the idea is that we just build the alternative, and then the state will essentially, like, wither away. So the agorist would want to build protection services or, you know, street cleaning or, you know, snow plowing and things like that. Whatever things that the government is kind of doing now, create a market-based alternative for that and somehow attract people over to it. Is that kind of like the general vision?
That, to an extent, can be the general vision. Mm-hmm. Konkin had a very, I think, and this is where we have some interesting schisms even within agorism, because there's some people who don't necessarily buy into the agorism itself will erode away the state.
Okay.
What
will then?
That's a good question. The one thing, but with that school of agorism, it's I'm going to live free anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to worry about saving the world.
I see.
I just need to save myself and my family. Whereas there's the and I'm kind of in the middle on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I know this is a multi-generational thing. I know the state is not going to disappear tomorrow. I know it's not going to disappear in a decade. I would certainly hope it'd be
if
gone.
Only.
Exactly. It's. I very certainly hope it'll disappear, and I'm certain it will. I think the one problem I have, one of the critiques I have of agorism as an agorist is the idea of inevitability. It's very similar to Marx's view of communism, where communism will just happen.
Hmm.
Obviously, ignore Lenin. Mm-hmm. Lenin's view on the professional class provocateurs and things like that. But like Marx himself believed it was just an inevitability that the communists.
And so there are certain agorists who believe that agorism will just take over. People will become agorists.
Yeah.
Enough of them.
And that's one of the things where I'm like, I know a good amount can, and I'm sure there'll be cadres of, you know, areas where there'll be agorist, you know, pockets.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if even in the near future, it's going to be to the point of starving the beast,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Because if you read the new Libertarian Manifesto, Konkin details the war, so to speak, in multiple phases. And fourth is the state is on its last legs and will wither away because it can't keep up with insurance companies hiring protection services, mm-hmm. you know. But there are examples.
That might have been the one that I read because it sounds familiar.
It's the one with the black and yellow cover.
Okay.
The white cover is an agorist primer. And then Counter Economics from the Back Alleys to the Stars. While Unfinished was included in Derek Prose's How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State.
The other one I've read is Back Alley to the Stars, and the thing I love about it, I haven't gotten to the end, so apparently it's just going to end abruptly because it's not finished, but I read probably like 5 hours of it, and all it was here's another example of, you know, a state completely locking down the economy, and these people just doing counter economics anyway, like businesses underground, and it there's so many examples. Like, I don't even know how he gets all this information, and it's like really detailed about how these people are like avoiding, just like simply avoiding taxes, or really complexly avoiding, like in, you know, the USSR, people had like factories without the government knowing, because, you know, they knew who to pay off and stuff like that. It's awesome.
The one thing to note though is counter economics. Or counter-revolutionary economics in its fullest name, is literally any action outside of the permission of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So In other words,
of which there's a ton.
There's so much.
Yeah.
What is the joke? You commit an average of 3 felonies a day.
Mm-hmm.
Not a joke.
at this point, so basically, as long as, and there's a difference between the a counter economist and an agorist. It's kind of similar to the concept of the worker and the communist, and within the Communist Manifesto. Mm. Obviously, I'm no Marxist, but agorism kind of has some of that leftist bent into it. So you kind of have to be aware of at least some of the origins of thought.
All right.
Within it.
I think that as far as agorism goes, you know, the best bet for those guys is to be here in New Hampshire, because there are a lot of people that, and I don't know what percentage of the Free Staters they are, but I know they exist. I know there have been many debates, like in there's certain libertarian clubs that exist here in New Hampshire, because we have so many liberty-minded people here, liberty activists. There are these social organizations, physical buildings that have arisen where people can, you know, become a member of this club, and then they have access to the building and can hang out. And so I know there have been many debates between the sort of the work inside the system types and the agorist outside the system guys. And then there's plenty of people that are like, you know, 2 feet and 1 foot in one area and 1 foot in the other. Like I support, like I do, I support both. Let's do all of the things, because we're never going to convince everyone to go in one direction or another. So we need as many approaches as we possibly can to end the state.
Have you been to a market day yet?
No, I have not been to a market day yet.
Yeah, I think
they're up in like the spring.
I think they still happen during the winter. I could be wrong about that, but I believe they still do happen. You should check the Free State Project calendar, fsp.org/calendar. They're usually a once a month kind of thing, and they're obviously bigger in the summertime when people are more likely to travel and go places. But Manchester, I think, has them every single month.
Oh, maybe, I didn't know.
Maybe wintertime it's a little less often. I don't know, but obviously, you know, you're probably not going to get as many fresh vegetables or things like that during the wintertime. But
I'd be amazed.
But yeah, you get you get like beef and homemade soaps and, you know, whatever things that people are creating and doing.
And you know, without permission.
Without permission.
Because there's like a farmer's market here in Keene, and I love it, but definitely like with permission.
Sure.
And only like one lady was selling bouquets of flowers for Bitcoin.
That's true.
All
right, so the number here, if you want to join the show, is 603-283-6160. We'll get into some of the news with the crackdown coming in Tennessee against drag shows. It is Free Talk Live. Hour 2's coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.